into the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows along with our social media links, you can find all of that at www.hishardline.com. That's hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host for the day, with our Sovereign Lord and Savior Christ Jesus at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheel, in the captain's chair, steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hardline. So today's show title is called Dealing with the Devil, Dealing with the Devil. And today's reading will be out of Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. Daily disclaimer, I want to clarify that while I serve as a lawful and honorable member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good standing, my expertise does not extend to being a licensed doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer. Additionally, I'm not the official face or voice of the National State or County General Jural Assembly, and remember, I do not advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of you and your family and those around you. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. So, I hope everybody's having a good start to the day, or ending, depending on when you're listening to this download. But right now we are live. Typically I do lives on Sunday, but if I'm feeling froggy and I'm feeling up to it, I'll usually do a live randomly on a day when I just usually just do a recording. So we got rid of the puppy. We rehomed him. So Maverick is with his new family. It's kind of a bittersweet feeling, but I think it was for the best because of the allergies that my daughter was dealing with. You know, it's amazing. So many people are like, why don't you give her allergy medication so she can have the dog? And it's like, no, we are not doing that. We are not pumping our daughter full of allergy medication just for the sake of keeping an animal in the house. I mean, look, let's face it. As cute as that puppy was, as smart as that puppy was, as much of a good fit he was with our family, he's still an animal. And I'm not going to pump my daughter full of drugs just to be able to keep a dog in our house. Are you kidding me? No, absolutely not. And so it just amazes me how people prioritize animals above human life. I mean, I love animals. Don't get me wrong. I'm a dog person. I love animals. But to put an animal above a living person, right? A human, a baby, a daughter, a son. No. We had our daughter in mind when we got the puppy, thinking that this would help bring joy and fulfillment to the sibling that she's always wanted and couldn't have yet, at least not yet anyways. I'm still holding out for hopefully another child, but my wife and I were slowly kind of coming to the possibility of it might not happen for us. You know, maybe we just might only be a one child family, which is fine. You know, I'm not going to dispute anything that God has planned for us, but as far as pumping our daughter full of medication and allergy stuff, even if it was like more holistic medication, like we're not going to keep buying stuff to help subdue allergy, symptoms just for the sake of having a pet, just not doing it. That's just absolutely asinine. So it just amazes me how many people are like, well, I'll just give her allergy medication. It's like, no, no. Not one bit. So anyways, so today's topic is a little different. Now, normally, we're winding down on the EDU segments for the field training manual that I've been reading, and usually I've been trying to knock out two a week, but we're getting down to lessons 10, 11, and 12. So that is going to be completed before the end of May, or at least mid-May. Let's see, we're mid-April. Well, actually, now we're past the halfway point of April, but my goal is to have that done maybe actually even before the end of April is up. And then we'll give the EDU segments a little bit of a break for a couple of weeks, and then maybe I might start getting into the grand jury, the common law grand jury teachings possibly, because I have the Corpus Juris Secundum manual that I would actually read from. But right now, I just wanted to get into this topic of dealing with the devil, because it seems like now with the revelations of like with P. Diddy and, you know, the human trafficking element that's going on in Hollywood and in the music industry and corporate elite and the DC gulag swamp creatures, it's starting to become more and more evident that a lot of people in the public eye who a lot of, you know, in general, the public reveres, right? It's starting to come out more and more in public purview, all of their bad dealings of what they've been doing. And a lot of what they do, I think, stems from opening themselves up to the darkness and to dealing with the schemes of the devil. And hey, if you want rich, fame, and fortune, this is what you have to do. See, I want you to imagine a world for a minute where darkness lurks at every corner, because it does, right? Satan is the king of this principality here, all right? He rules the earth, as the Bible tells us. Now, not only does darkness lurk at every corner, trying to ensnare us, right? But there are many whispers of temptation which try to lead us astray, where the very essence of evil preys upon our souls, because it does. And in this world, the devil wears many masks, trying to entice us with promises of power, wealth, pleasure, promotion, cars, you name it, while trying to conceal the true cost of our allegiance to our Heavenly Father. But make no mistake, dealing with the devil is not merely a personal choice. It's a societal affliction, I think. It corrodes the moral fabric of our communities. It leaves behind a trail of broken lives and shattered dreams and broken families and heartache. And when we succumb to that seductive allure of sin, we sow seeds of destruction in our own life that threaten to engulf all of us. See, the devil is a master manipulator. We all know that. And he weaves his web of deception with cunning precision. It's amazing how convincing the devil can be. He preys upon people's weaknesses. He exploits fears and insecurities. And why does he do all that? Well, to lead us down a path of damnation. That's basically what he's trying to do. And in our pursuit of fleeting those worldly desires, we unwittingly become pawns in his wicked game. Now, there is hope in the middle of this darkness, because we possess the power to resist temptation and to stand firm against these forces of evil that seek to ensnare us by embracing the light of truth and righteousness. And we can break free from those chains that bind us to reclaim our souls from the clutches of the devil. We need to heed these warnings, ladies and gentlemen. We need to heed these warnings and signs that surround us, and let's arm ourselves with faith, with the courage, and with conviction. Because it's by standing tall and standing united against the powers of darkness where hope can build a society founded upon the principles of justice, compassion, and love. See, ultimately, what people don't realize is you don't really sell your soul to the devil. You make a choice to deal with the devil. See, the soul is not ours to sell. Now, you can make a contract, which basically maybe possibly, for lack of a better term, leases out your soul to the devil. But ultimately, the soul belongs to God, belongs to us, but ultimately to God. And, you know, if we make that choice to succumb to the devil's siren song, if you will, or, you know, or are we going to make that choice to rise up and reclaim our humanity and forge a brighter future for generations to come? Like, what's your choice going to be? I want to play a quick video real quick, because this is very interesting. This is man, I tell you, this is a topic that really is, I think, one that many people really should listen to. And I hope you share this. I want to play this. It's a 1 minute and 21 second YouTube video from a pastor who talks about selling your soul to the devil. Listen to this. It's actually pretty profound.
God puts people in amazing places. How about Alice Cooper? Is it possible that God could place his man in the middle of rock music to be an influence on other people? He shared the gospel with Johnny Depp. He told me that he gave a Bible to Marilyn Manson. God can do these things. I just wrote this book that I already mentioned. I've been doing interviews this last week about it. And I've, on more than one occasion, people have asked me, why would a pastor write a book on rock music? Rock music is evil. And these people have sold their souls to the devil. Number one, you can't sell your soul to the devil. Your soul is not yours to sell. The Bible says your soul belongs to God. Even if you open your heart to evil, if you call on Jesus Christ, he can forgive you and break any so-called deal that you had with the devil. But this isn't a book that's pro-rock music or anti-rock music. This is a book about how God reached people who were at the top of their careers, who climbed to the top of the mountain of fame and realized there was nothing there. Some made the wrong choices, and their lives became a cautionary story. But then there are stories of redemption, because no one is beyond the reach of God.
Yeah, I like that. Now, who that was is a guy. Now, I don't know who he is. I've never heard of him until today when I was putting together my notes. But this guy, this pastor, is by the name of Greg Laurie. Laurie. Now, I don't know if he's a good pastor, bad pastor, but here's what I do know. That little snippet that I listened to, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, that is very interesting. That you don't really sell your soul to the devil because your soul is not yours to sell, but you do make contractual agreements with the devil. And if you think that that is not a thing, think again. That is definitely a thing. See, people don't want to believe that the spiritual realm exists. Let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you. I know the spiritual realm exists because I've had to deal with it. My wife has had to deal with it. We've had encounters with it. It is a very much real thing as the physical realm that is visible to our eye. But people want to sit here and live in the illusion that, oh, this is all just hokey pokey. It's nonsense. There's no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as apparitions. There's no such thing as spirits. There's no such thing as guardian angels. And there's no such thing as demons and Satan that tries to make us stumble. Come on. That's just in the Bible. These are stories. Okay. Remember, the people who don't deal with this stuff, when I say this stuff, I'm talking about being pushed and being bothered by the spiritual realm, particularly these dark forces. You're not doing enough in your life. And I don't mean to offend, okay? Because if you live a quiet life and none of this, you know, you don't get bothered by this stuff, meaning, I mean, what I'm talking about here is things occurring, like, for example, in our household, water turning on immediately from our reverse osmosis faucet. When my wife and I at one point were in an argument with each other, and it scared the hell out of her because I was upstairs, she was downstairs. I think I shared this story already, and she knew what was happening, and she came up and was like, I really need you to pray and I know what's going on. Because when Satan tries to get in your house, in your household, in your family, and he tries to infiltrate, He will do everything to stir you up. He will, and his demons, they will do whatever they can to sow chaos, to instill fear. Had to deal with it with my stepfather when he committed suicide when I used to live in Florida. We've dealt with this spiritual realm. It's a very real thing, folks. And if you have not, if the darkness doesn't try to attack you, then you're not doing enough in your spiritual life to draw closer to God, to bring others closer to Jesus. And it's just, like I said, if you're not, it's like I'm trying to use my words here properly. Take the assembly, for example. We have done so much to get rid of the reprobates out of our midst, right? To get them away from us. We have had so much attack from many, many groups. Well, yeah, but Jason, these are people attacking other people, not forces. Don't be so sure. Don't think that dark forces cannot infiltrate somebody's mind to try to destroy something that's good for this country, to bring back sovereignty and freedom for the American people. Do you really think Satan wants that? No. He wants his kingdom to be built up. He does not want heaven on earth. He wants his kingdom. I want to play another audio from a movie that you are all probably very well aware of, God's Not Dead. It's the scene with the grandma where the business tycoon, the selfish business tycoon jerk, is talking to his grandmother who has Alzheimer's, has no idea who he is, but listen what she says. Very, very chilling, but so true.
Prayed and believed your whole life. Never done anything wrong. And here you are. You're the nicest person I know. I am the meanest. You have dementia. My life is perfect. Explain that to me.
Sometimes the devil allows people to live a life free of trouble because he doesn't want them turning to God. Their sin is like a jail cell, except it's all nice and comfy and there doesn't seem to be any need to leave. The door's wide open. But one day, time runs out, and the cell door slams shut, and suddenly, it's too late.
That's interesting. That is very interesting. She says that the devil leaves, sin is like a jail cell, and he leaves the door open, giving you the illusion that you're free to go anytime you want. And he lets you live a life free of trouble, free of challenges, right? And because he doesn't want you turning to God, that's why he lets you do that. And he lets it be a comfy place for you to sit and live. So it makes you feel like you don't have any reason to leave, right? That door is wide open. And then one day, like she said, time runs out. And that cell door slams shut. And then it's too late. Then it's too late. Well, Jason, what do you mean by that, by the door slamming shut? Well, when you finally die and you don't turn your life over to Jesus. I found a prayer that so this show is going to be a little different. We're going to have a prayer in the front end for anybody who wants it, and then we have a normal prayer on the back end, on the tail end of the show. But this prayer is for anyone who wants to break free from the grips of Satan, because this is very important. I don't think people realize how important Satan and his demons, how they have roped and chained up society through the lust and materials of this world. So if you feel compelled and you feel like you need it, trust me, I prayed it. I prayed every day just to make sure I cover my bases. Then by all means, join me. But this is the prayer that I found. And it goes like this. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, your beloved Son and my Savior, and I acknowledge that I have been under the influence of darkness and the enemy's schemes. But I now choose to turn away from all forms of evil and to surrender my life to you completely. I renounce any agreement or contracts I may have unknowingly made with the enemy and his demons, and I break all ties and bonds with Satan and his forces, and I declare them null and void in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask for your forgiveness for any sins or mistakes I have committed, and I invite you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Wash me clean with your precious blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I proclaim that I am now a child of God, adopted into your family through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross, and I am covered by the blood of the Lamb, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I rebuke every spirit of fear, doubt, and confusion, and I command them to leave me now in Jesus' name. I declare that I am free from bondage and oppression, and I walk in the victory that Jesus won for me at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your love, grace, and mercy, and I trust in your power to deliver me from all evil and to guide me into your perfect will. May your light shine brightly in my life, and may I always walk in the freedom and authority that comes from being a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you feel like that is something you need, repeat that prayer. Play that prayer. Commit it to memory if you want. I could post it if you want on Telegram for those that want that. And X and True Social. So before we get into the other side of the show here, let's get into Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, that was the reading of Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28. Now, within the quiet moments that lie deep within us, there, I think, is always a longing for something more meaningful than these fleeting joys of the world that we always try to seek out, you know, go after. It's like a whisper in the chaos of our desires, a truth that goes beyond that shiny allure of fame and wealth that many try to chase. But here, Jesus' words cuts through the noise of our time with this wisdom that he imparts to us. And he says, if you want to walk with me, you've got to let go of selfishness, take up your struggles, follow my path. Yeah, I know it's a challenge to put others before ourselves, but it's necessary. It's to chase a purpose higher than our own. You know, it's tough for people, I think, to chase a purpose higher than our own comfort, right? Because when people are comfortable, like that lady said, that grandma said in that movie from God's Not Dead, that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to create a life of comfort. And because if we only look out for just number one, we risk losing what makes us truly human and the essence of our souls, our connection to something greater. And I want you to think about this for a minute, folks, with regards to, you know, the music industry, Hollywood or any other field, right? Big time corporate America. Right? If you're a C-suite executive, these types of people chase after fame and fortune and wealth and riches, thinking it'll fill them up. But in the end of the day, what ends up happening is they find themselves empty, with applause that fades and riches that don't satisfy. So Jason, what are you trying to say? That money's not important? No, money is very important, but it's not to be revered as a god. It's not to be something that you put ahead of others. because money is a good tool when used for good. But like any other tool, like a gun, right, or any type of weapon, when used improperly, it can be used for destruction. See, Jesus asked us in that passage, what good is it to gain the whole world if you lose yourself, you lose your soul? That's a big wake-up call for a lot of people, because true fulfillment is not found in stuff. I would know. I had two brand new Mustangs and a brand new pickup truck. You know what I felt from that? Burden from the payments every month when that withdrawal would come out of my account. I hated it. Yeah, but Jason, you had a sweet car. Went 156 miles an hour. Yes, I did. But you know what? That car broke just the same as my Ford Fusion that's over what? What year is my Fusion? It's over 13 years old. I have a 13-year-old car. I'd rather have my Fusion over the Mustang. Now, would I ever want a Mustang again? Sure. If it's cash paid and I don't have a payment on it, I have no problem with that. But I'm not going to go into debt and be a slave to the lender. Again, this is a wake-up call. Here's the good news. Even when we mess up, there's a chance to start fresh. There's grace to forgive, heal, and begin again. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. So I say you need to embrace. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you should be doing, but I think it's important that we need to embrace this call to live for something bigger than ourselves. Let's find that joy in being true to who we are, not chasing after what's fleeting, but holding on to that eternal truth that's in our hearts. May we be like those who, despite their stumbles, find renewal and transformation in the love of a God who knows us by name. You know, as we get into the second half of the show, as far as dealing with the devil, you know, let me tell you something. Two people in my life that my family knew, my wife knew, one of them was a guy by the name of Bob. I'm not going to say his last name. Lord rest his soul. He was an importer for exotic cars. He made a lot of money. He had a beautiful place in Boca Raton, Delray Beach, I believe, Florida. He was an importer for expensive cars. He had a few expensive cars himself. He had a Ferrari, a nice high-end Mercedes, a Vette. He had a few vehicles of his own. He had a lot of money. A lot of money. He also had a lot of demons that he dealt with. He had a lot of pain. I don't know from what. I don't know the details, but he ended up committing suicide back in 2013, right before the resurrection time that most people call Easter. He had shot himself. And he was a close friend of the family. And my stepfather at that time, Barry, he said, I don't understand what would drive a man to that dark place to where he would do such a thing. Well, July of 2013, just a few months after what Bob did, then my stepfather, Barry, hung himself. Again, a man who made a lot of money. A man who had a boat and a nice, beautiful home in a gated community in Parkland, Florida, which is a very, very high-end place. A lot of people lived in there, sports, you know, stars and executives and CEOs of companies. I mean, it was it wasn't just your normal gated community, let me tell you. The guy made anywhere between 50, 60,000 a month, 40 to 60,000 a month, made a lot of money. But again, success not managed well can fall apart and lead a man to do exactly what Bob did. And that's exactly what my late stepfather did, Barry. He hung himself because of many reasons, but this show is not about that. But what's my point? You can make all the money in the world. It does not mean happiness. It might mean that you can get nice expensive toys and you could possibly live debt-free. But see, when Satan infiltrates the mind and you have all this money, what's he try to do? He tries to get you to be stupid with it and to be mismanage it. He tries you to do a lot of dumb things. He tries to get you to not be in your right mind. And that's ultimately what happened. See, you dance with the devil, he's going to step on your toes eventually. He's going to trip you up. Yeah, but Jason, didn't that old lady say that he tries to give you a comfortable life with that jail door open, making you believe you can leave at any time? Well, yeah, that's what that lady said. But again, remember, there's a cost with dealing with the devil. There's a contract, just like the people in Hollywood, just like people in the music industry. There's a cost. And that cost can mean sacrificing, having people, be sacrificed in your family. I want you to listen to something. So I'm going to play this audio. I got a few audio pieces here. And this audio piece I'm about to play, I don't know what these rappers are, but they're about to sign a $100 million contract. Listen to this video. Just listen, all right? And I'll post it, but listen to it.
Maybe Kanye wasn't lying when he said it. Maybe he was telling the truth.
My mama was sacrificed. You understand?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan. What about him? His daddy, right? Bill Cosby. His son. Dr. Dre. His son. You're out in Hollywood. A lot of people come up missing. Feels like it might be a lot of that in order to control, traumatize.
Have you heard the whole situation with Gilly and his son? It's crazy because in this video, you can feel the agony radiating off of this man. Mind you, he's signing a $100 million contract, and just look at how unhappy he is. Look at what he does when the song says sacrifice. Turns away. And then this man's like shaking it off. And look at him. Gonna be rich forever. Just waiting for him to sign it. Wiping his tears.
So I'll post that video so you can see exactly what scene was being pictured here. But basically, it was two young men that were about to sign a $100 million. Well, they did sign a $100 million record label deal. All right. And this guy had no problem signing it. He is dancing and singing to the song that's playing in the background by Rick Ross, talking about, the price of fame, sacrificing, right? And there's another guy, the other rapper, who was just, you could tell he was in agony. Because if you're going to sign a deal of that magnitude, you better believe they're going to try to, get you to do something that shows your allegiance to them. You know, when people sign this contract, sometimes salesmen, I used to be guilty of this before I really realized exactly how real of a thing this was before I woke up. But, when I used to sell gym memberships, there was always something that I always used to say that I thought was funny. But like, yeah, just sign right here. It's basically, 18-month contract with the, for this gym membership, yada, yada, yada. Don't worry about it. You're also selling your firstborn, yada, yada, yada. Right? I always thought that was a funny thing to say. Until I started waking up and I started thinking, wow, this really is a thing. This really is a thing. There's so many people in Hollywood and in the music industry. Okay. Maybe not everybody, but there is many that if you're going to elevate into higher levels in that realm, in those circles, you better believe they want to know what your allegiance is going to be and what you're willing to give up for all that fame and fortune. Is that worth your soul? Is that worth somebody else's life? I want to play a song real quick that I put here. Now, this is an old song. This rapper is not that big, but he was somewhat well known. Now, there's a few bad words in here, but it's not bad, but it does portray what they try to do in the music industry. Now, this rapper is by the name of Maynotes, and the song's called The Price of Fame. I'm going to play this real quick. it's just listen to the words. You should be able to keep up so you can comprehend what's being said here. Listen to this song. It's called The Price of Fame. And again, there may be a couple bad words in there, but it's not like overdone like most rap songs. But you should hear it. Now remember, this song is basically a dialogue between a guy who's trying to chase fame and the devil.
Mano.
Yo, what up?
Yeah. Mano.
Yo, man.
Mano.
Fuck, nigga. Yo.
Yeah.
Yo, who that?
It's me. It's
me. Fuck me, who? Shit, man. Who you?
I'm everything you chasing, the thing that you dream about. I'm what you really want, the shit that people read about. Niggas kill for me, I make them bring the heaters out. So many died for me, I can't remember the amount.
What? What the fuck? Who is this? Stop playing, cause I ain't with the games. What you mean? What you saying?
I noticed that you want me, you obsessed with trying to get me. You want a right road, but it ain't easy trying to get me. And even if you get me, are you sure you can handle me? Many came before you, but they failed, they couldn't handle me. I'm the glamour, the glitz, the scene, I'm the limelight. I turn boys into men when the time's right. I'm your life, you excited by my name. I'm what you desire, motherfucker, I'm fame.
Fame? What? Fame? What the f***? How did... Hey, yo, man.
Look into my soul, don't tell me that I changed. Cause in my mind I thought that I was still the same. I didn't notice all the changes that I made, cause I've been too busy chasing fame, chasing fame. I'm chasing fame. Don't tell me that I changed, cause I've been too busy chasing fame.
Some celebrities good, they real, so they still with me. All the niggas get high, they can't deal with me. I'm the reason why big and pock inside the ground. Now you could be a Kanye or be a Bobby Brown. It's up to you, you still wanna fuck with me? Cause what you win is forever, you getting stuck with me.
I mean, yeah, no, goddamn, let me think. I only wanted to be famous to help me lead the streets.
I done changed your life, I got you shining right. You was a street dude, look how I saved your life.
But I had to sacrifice, I don't see my son in life.
You hear that? I had to sacrifice. I had to sacrifice.
2 or 3 weeks straight, what happened to my family life?
Welcome to the fast life.
I be clubbing every night.
This is what you asked for, this is what you wanted, right?
Yeah, I know, money, hoes, cars, clothes, living life.
Got what you was wishing, now tell me you don't feel nice.
Don't tell me that I changed, cause in my mind I thought that I was still the same. I didn't notice all the changes that I made, cause I've been too busy chasing fame, chasing fame. I'm chasing fame. Don't tell me that I changed, cause I've been too busy chasing fame.
What you doing? People looking at me different. My friends say I changed, they think I'm acting different. At first all I wanted was to get my hands on riches. Too busy chasing you to notice all the difference. People see me now, there they go snapping pictures. When you call I come running, tell me why you so addictive. You a gift, you a curse, you feeling like a drug. Cause while I'm chasing you, I hurt the ones I love. And I ain't who I was, cause I ain't on the block no more. I ain't in the hood, I've been out, yeah I'm trying to talk. Tell me what to do, I was cool before I blew. Cause now I spend my days out, trying to capture you. I'm trying to be the same, don't tell me that I changed. Stop fucking with my mind, you playing with my brain. Tell me who I am, my mother calls me main. I guess this is what they call a price of fame.
And there you go. So that was, again, a rap song by a guy by the name of Mano. Now, he didn't make it big, and there's probably a reason for it, because he didn't want to do what Kanye West did. He didn't want to do what Bobby Brown did. He didn't want to do what some of the big-time rappers did. Rick Ross, you know, all these big guys, DJ Khaled, Jay-Z. He didn't do all that stuff. There's a reason why he's not a big time rapper. Why? Because he knew. You ever wonder why there's one hit wonders? They make a big hit and then all of a sudden they fade out. Why? Because they did not want to sell out. Here's something else that a lot of people don't realize. Now, again, they hide it right there in plain sight, but this is some Nickelodeon stars. Listen to what they say. This guy, this one guy that's talking is from that show Kenan and Kel on Nickelodeon. Listen to this.
They don't even have to hide it, bro. Look.
Aren't you like 40?
No, no. A long time ago, I met this guy and made a deal where I get to stay 25 years old for forever.
What guy?
Tall fella, horns, red fur. I don't know, little hooves.
Keen, that's the devil, dude.
What?
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood.
If you get famous enough to stay relevant and young, you have to drink baby blood.
I don't think there's a level of fame that is just too dangerous for...
Yeah, if you don't drink the Kool-Aid, the gold juice. You never offer the gold juice?
No! What's the gold juice?
I don't know, but I didn't drink it, and I didn't want it. It's like a real thing. You can have everything you want, all the fame in the world, all the money. I'm like, what if I just drank it?
I don't know if they were baby eaters, but a lot of them are.
I eat children.
It's... We were offered.
How old are you?
12.
Okay, only to...
Gee, I wonder why they all joke about the same thing. Because it's a funny joke, right?
I think there's a level of fame that is just too dangerous for...
Yeah, if you don't drink the Kool-Aid, the gold juice, you can have everything you want, all the fame in the world, all the money. I'm like, what if I just drank it?
What if I just drank it? See, that's a dangerous spot. That's a dangerous, dangerous spot. I don't think people realize this kind of satanic activity that actually truly happens in Hollywood. This is one of the reasons why I refuse to listen to any mainstream music anymore. Even country music, to be honest with you. Oh, Jason, what's wrong with country music? They don't talk about this stuff. They may not talk about it in their songs like some rappers do and some rock stars do in their rock and roll songs. That doesn't mean that they didn't pay a certain price behind the scenes that's not portrayed on their songs. You have to understand, if you're going to rise up to the kind of fame and fortune that you see with some of these music moguls and Hollywood elite and people who have made careers in DC and people who are quote unquote world leaders, people who are big time CEOs for these big companies making $2-4 million a year. Well, Jason, those people just work really hard. You ever stop and think about that? There's probably some CEOs out there that truly have worked their tails off and gotten to where they got through true hard work, doing things a moral and ethical way. Yes, I'm not going to discount that. There are those people out there because, look, anyone that's got fame and fortune, not all of them are dealing with the devil. Sometimes I do believe God does bless people if they do things the righteous way. I don't think we were meant to live a life of poorness and poverty. But again, like what Matthew was saying, you know, the book of Matthew, what profits a man where you sell your soul, but yet you gain the whole world? Why would you do that? Why would you drink baby blood? Why would you do these satanic things just to get more money? Why would you allow someone in your family to be sacrificed? You heard Kanye West. He said his mother was sacrificed. What happened with Dr. Dre, the famous rapper, with his son? It's been said that Will Smith, with his children, they were MK Ultra'd and, you know, not, obviously not sacrificed to death because they're in the music and Hollywood industry, but they were given up to this industry for use and abuse, I believe. I'm not going to play the whole audio, but here's also one from Justin Bieber. After this whole thing came out with P. Diddy, let's just kind of give this a little bit of a listen to.
There was a time where I was sipping lean, I was popping pills, I was doing Molly, shrooms, everything, and it was just an escape for me. You have all these people around me just kind of hanging on, wanting stuff from me, knowing that, like, I was living this lifestyle that they also wanted to live, drinking, smoking.
Justin Bieber is making a comeback, and honestly, it is quite the remission.
I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me, so, and we're gonna go buck fool crazy. Yeah, so.
Now that's P. Diddy talking about how he had Justin Bieber for 48 hours. He doesn't have legal guardianship over him, but he had him for 48 hours. Well, what does a rapper need do with a 15-year-old like Justin Bieber at that time for 48 hours? What are you doing with this boy for 48 hours? Jason, they're just making music. Are they? Are they?
As soon as you turn 16, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you rock because every time you come to L.A., yeah, it's going to be yours. So, every time you come to L.A., it's a little dusty, but you know, fresh out of it.
Man. And so what P. Diddy's doing, he's uncovering a Lamborghini that he's giving to Justin Bieber. That's what he's doing right now.
Next year.
Hollywood and its elites are known for funding shady activities and doing things that they shouldn't, mostly Diddy lending a hand to groom young artists. However, that hasn't stopped these powerful individuals from doing what they enjoy doing the most, and that is exploiting others for their own messed up gain.
I ain't taking no slice from nobody. It's God. That's the only person that I serve. My mom ain't here. My mama was sacrificed. You know, out in Hollywood, a lot of people come up missing. Feels like it might be a lot of that. Can't control me. You get what I'm saying? They could control Shaq. They could control Charles Barkley. They could control LeBron James. They could control Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Not you, man.
But they can't control me. You not see, you. It ain't no name I won't name. Exactly. It's up.
Of course. We also have people who are not afraid to stand up against these elites. And looks like Bieber has recently joined the army.
I started valuing the wrong things in this business because there was things dangling in front of me. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I do this, I'll be happy. I never had that security in a family. I never had that consistency. I never had the reliability and the accountability and all these things that make you understand the way the world works.
Here's everything you need to know.
Nobody ever tells you that, like, when you get to the top, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's just more of that. If you want it, you know, I had ground and scraped and fought to make movies and to make the things that I wanted to make and to sell books and sell scripts. And I was doing all those things. And then I get there and I'm like a broken shell of myself with this relationship that threatened to sort of like truly like wreck my life. And I had done nothing to deserve that. And, you know, I'm like, what is life? Like, what, you know, I'm so backwards.
An unsettling network of influential people in Hollywood who routinely groom young musicians under the idea of mentorship has been brought to light as a result of actors finally taking a stand against the alleged system.
Everything you wanted to do, you yes. were doing, but you still weren't happy.
But I was, you know, but I'm a victim. I'm a product, I should say, of these systems that we all survive in, which is, you know, this sort of capitalist driven corporatocracy kind of driven way of merchandising and commercializing every thought and fear and moment that we have in our lives and never giving us a chance to slow down. And you know, when I was able to, I was on my way out, and I saw my kids and I saw them grown up. And
you really saw that?
Yes, I did. And I saw them asking me, just like a mature grown adult would say, you know, say something very calmly without emotion, like, please don't do this.
It is Bieber's opinion that the industry is home to a dangerous culture in which influential personalities take advantage of and manipulate talented individuals who are fragile. Bieber reveals the difficulties of navigating an industry that frequently turns its back on individuals who are struggling with exploitation by sharing his own struggles as a young musician.
16.
You're not ready. Slow down. Okay. Just. Let's slow down. Okay.
One step at a time.
But yeah, the keys is yours. And when you get 16, you're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah. Right. And then when you get 18, you get the house. You get the mansion.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when you turn 18, he says, then you get the mansion. That is, this is just the disgusting ways that they do business in Hollywood. And people need to realize that listening to music, listening to music by these people. That's why it cracks me up. All these people that they that are called Swifties, right? The Taylor Swift fans. It is so evident in her performances, if you want to call it that, the kind of witchcraft. How do you want to call it? I guess, yeah. I mean, the kind of witchcraft nonsense that she performs on stage and gets her audience to chant in certain ways. It's just absolutely disgusting. And people don't see it. People do not see it. Because that's what the devil does. He deceives. He puts the blinders on. So you can't see how bad it is. I bring all this up for a reason. I bring all this up for a reason. That's why I started the beginning of the show with the prayer that I did, because this is a dark subject. Somebody here in the chat just even had to say, sorry, this is too, you know, topic's too dark for me. Sorry, but I have to go. Understandable. Understandable. It is a very dark topic. But what people need to understand is that even by listening to music and by watching these movies from these Hollywood scumbags, you're still feeding into it. I mean, my wife and I, we have thrown so much away that has felt like it's had a dark attachment to it. We've thrown away so much, a lot of DVDs, a lot of books, a lot of anything that seems like it had any darkness or evil attached to it. We've discarded, and we're still finding things that we are discarding. Well, Jason, how does this have to do with anything with the assembly? Because this isn't this predominantly about, you know, you talk a lot about the assembly. Yes, but at the same time, I also discuss self-mastery, self-renewal, right? It's about bettering our lives. So the reason I bring this topic up is, again, to help people understand and hopefully lift the veil of this crap. This is why I listen to just audiobooks, or I'll listen to just smooth jazz or symphony music. I will not listen to country music hardly anymore at all. Every once in a while, I'll tune into it, but this is why I don't listen to rap music anymore. This is why I don't listen to rock music anymore. Most of the music out there is not really that good. Yeah, but Christian music, Jason, what about Christian music? Be careful with that too. Now, I'm not saying all Christian artists are bad. There's some really good uplifting songs that I really enjoy. But there are some artists that have made it big that are starting to pay an allegiance to the other side, if you will. And it's very, very important that you ask Father God in heaven for that discernment. Ask him to help you sift out of your life the bad stuff, for a lack of better term. I don't think people realize just how dark the entertainment industry is. And I hope and pray that this information becomes more overt and out in the open in the public purview. People need to understand this. This is the only way this system crumbles. Hollywood, the music industry, DC, C-suite executives for huge Fortune 500 companies, they're all in the same club with each other. Don't think for 1 minute that it's these issues are just to the music industry or Hollywood. No, this is, if you have lots of fame and fortune, more than likely, you probably are dealing with organizations like the Illuminati or the Freemasons. You are paying an allegiance to a dark force. Do not deal with the devil. He will screw your life up. I'm so glad I got out of DJing and I got out of the music industry. Now, granted, I wasn't anywhere big, but I knew people who knew people. Like, for example, I knew someone by the name of John Perdue, a.k.a. DJ Silver. He was a DJ out of Austin, Texas. I got to knowing him through other DJs that I was friends with when I worked for an independent label down in Dallas called Q4 Entertainment. And DJ Silver was DJing at a place in Vegas. I believe it was the Flamingo. I can't remember what club it was, but Jason Aldean had just gotten done with a show and him and his crew went to a nightclub that DJ Silver was at. And DJ Silver specializes in making country music club mixes. He's a very talented man. Well, Jason Aldean liked what he heard, got him to sign a deal with Sony Records, I believe is what it was. And now he is on tour with Jason Aldean, still to this day, I believe, doing shows with Jason Aldean. He's worked with so many artists. And this is somebody that I had in my phone list. Now, I don't talk to him anymore. In fact, I don't even have his number anymore. I think I deleted it. Because obviously there comes a point where people become too big and, you know. And so it's kind of like that 6 degrees of separation kind of thing, right? Like if I would have stuck in that industry long enough, I think without a doubt with my drive that I used to have, I think I could have broken into it. I'm glad I didn't. Because I'd much rather have the family life and my wife and the daughter and the home. Even though I'm not a big fan of an HOA, I'm happy with the life and the home and the family that I have, and I would not trade it for anything in the world. This is why the corporate structures and a de facto government want the family destroyed, because when you destroy the family, again, I will keep reiterating this point until the cows come home, you destroy the family, you can destroy the nation from within. Because when you have a weak family or a dismantled family, that means you do not have a strong father and a strong mother in a household raising a strong child. Yeah, but Jason, what if you have a strong mother in the household raising child? That's still good, right? Yes. I'm not saying it can't be done, but the odds of having a strong family and a strong nation increase 10x when mom and dad are in the same household. Do you understand? This is how God designed it. This is God's perfect design. My wife isn't here in the chat saying, I told you, you'd fall in love. She was right. She was right. As always, she is always right. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to bring this topic up to bring a dark subject into the podcast realm, but it is a subject that people do need to be aware of. Putting our heads in the sand is not going to make the issue go away. Believe me, I hate Hollywood. I hate the music industry. It needs to crumble just like DC. It needs to be burned to the ground and incinerated like our corporate de facto government. It needs to be brought down to its knees, burned, and buried. Okay? That's just the fact of life. But putting our head in the sand and pretending that the issue isn't there is not the way to solve this problem. It's just like returning back to self-governance and the assembly. Putting your head in the sand is not going to make it go away, okay? The longer you let that force stay in charge, the more it's going to keep reigning tyranny over you in your life. The same enemy that is infiltrated and, you know, created Hollywood the way that it is the same enemy that's trying to bring down the General Jural Assembly. Make no mistake. But guess what? We are winning. These reprobates have been more quiet. I was having a conversation with a few people within the good part of the General Jural Assembly, and I made a comment. I said, is it just me? Or have these reprobate of delinquents been very quiet? I haven't heard squat from them. And they're losing traction. They're starting to realize, crap, these people, there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, being misled by them. They're starting to realize these people have no standing. They're starting to understand what's really going on. And so they're walking back to the rightful people, the rightful men and women who have helped get rid of these scumbags. The reprobates, all they're doing is just playing house. Again, it's a deception game, and that's what Satan does. He likes to deceive. He likes to divide. He likes to make empty promises that he cannot fulfill. Always keep your head on a swivel, ladies and gentlemen, and always watch out for the enemy. He's lurking in every shadow and at every corner. But as long as you ask Christ Jesus to be in your heart and you ask God to give you that discernment and you ask the Holy Spirit to guide your every step in your life, you will be just fine. So with that, I think that would be a good place, I think, to close. I don't want to make this go too long. But again, this is something that we really need to take seriously. Dear Heavenly Father, in the stillness of our hearts, we come before you asking for your guidance and strength. And we acknowledge that there is a longing within us for something greater than the fleeting pleasures of this world. And we ask that you help us find true fulfillment in you rather than in the empty promises of worldly gain. We ask that you grant us the wisdom to walk in your footsteps of Jesus and taking up our own cross, following his example of selflessness and love. And may we deny ourselves and prioritize service to others, seeking to make a positive difference in the lives of those around us. And as we strive to navigate the challenges of this world, we ask that you protect us from the temptations that seek to lead us astray. Father, please shield us from the allure of wealth and power and empowerment, and empower us to resist the evils that threaten to corrupt our hearts and minds. But when we do work to amass wealth the right way, Lord, let it be in a manner that is moral, ethical, and aligned with your teachings of service to others. May our endeavors be guided by integrity and righteousness, and may we always seek to use our resources for the betterment of society. Guide us, Father, in this journey of life, that we may walk in your light of love and find true joy in serving you and our fellow man. And we pray all this in your Holy Son's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. And like I said, ladies and gentlemen, the prayer that I did at the beginning that I found is a very good one. I'll post it on Telegram. And in fact, I'll even say it one more time because of the heaviness of this topic. All right. And this is how the prayer goes. Heavenly Father, we come before you in your name, Jesus, your beloved Son and my Savior. And I acknowledge that we have been under the influence of darkness and the enemy's schemes, but I now choose to turn away from all forms of evil and to surrender life, my life, our life, to you completely. We renounce any agreement or contracts that we may have unknowingly made with the enemy and his demons, and we break all ties and bonds with Satan and his forces, and we declare them null and void in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask for your forgiveness for any sins or mistakes that we have committed, and we invite you, Lord Jesus, to come into our heart and be the Lord of our life and wash us clean with your precious blood and fill us with your Holy Spirit. We proclaim that we are now children of God, adopted into your family through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We rebuke every spirit of fear, doubt, and confusion, and we command them to leave us now in Jesus' name. And we declare that we are free from bondage and oppression, and we walk in the victory that Jesus won for us at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your love, your mercy, and we trust in the power that you delivered us from all evil and guided us and are guiding us into the perfect will, your perfect will. And may your light shine brightly in our life. And may we always walk in the freedom and authority that comes from being a child of the Most High. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I will post that prayer on Telegram. I thought it was a great prayer when I found it. I was like, wow, that is a solid prayer. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. So anyways, you need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, here at His Hard Line, we are firm, we are steadfast, yes, and we are uncompromising. Why is that? Well, because we will not allow the enemy to cross that line ever again. It is our duty to hold that line. Because again, like we were just talking about, the enemy seeks to lure us into apathy, complacency, fear, doubt, anxiety, hopelessness, and it aims to enslave us and keep us enslaved mentally. The enemy wants to hinder our progress towards self-mastery. The enemy wants us to not be self-governed. He wants to destroy our relationship with the Heavenly Father. We need to remain vigilant and resolute in our commitment to holding this line. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to serve you here at His Hard Line, where we are people-focused, and we are driven by the calling to serving you, commissioned to me by our Heavenly Father. I do have a new song that I'm going to play after this. It's called Heavenly Father by Tay Tay. It's a cool song. I really love it. It's a good one. I think you'll enjoy it too. But ladies and gentlemen, have a blessed day, blessed night, wherever you're at in the world. And we will catch up with you here next time.
I'm not afraid of dying, no. Cause I know the Lord in heaven got my back in every setting. They try to keep me quiet, yeah. But they don't know the power of receiving all the blessings you get from above. It's nothing but love, I'll never look down. Cause Lord is around, there's nothing at all that will make me fall. Cannot stop me, cannot stop me. Yeah, don't fret the devil, it's not on the level where God has been since the beginning of time. If I am the moving way of the demons, there's no way they'll catch me this close to my prime. Heavenly Father, pray for my sins. Heavenly Father, pray for my sins. You're my light and the creator. Let me walk with you, my savior. I'm not afraid of dying, no. I know the Lord in heaven got my back in every setting. They try to keep me quiet, quiet. Are you not afraid of dying? No. In every setting, they try to keep me quiet. They don't know the power of receiving all the blessings you get from above. It's nothing but love. I'll never look down. Cause Lord is around. There's nothing at all that will make me fall. Can I stop me? Can I stop me? Yeah, don't fret the devil. It's not on the level where God has been since the beginning of time. If I am the moving away of the demons, there's no way they'll catch me this close to my prime. Heavenly Father, pray for my sins. Heavenly Father, pray for my sins. Cause you're my light and the creator. Let me walk with you, my savior. I'm not afraid of dying. No. No. No.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hisHardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Jural Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast. His Hardline Podcast. Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by seven countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections. Let's go.